almost every community voted in favor of an article that voiced opposition to this project as presented by Northeast Utilities. These collective articles are the voice of the people. We, the people, have spoken, and you, sirs and ma'am, should listen.
The independent operator of the New England grid has not requested this additional power for reasons of need, of reliability, or to relieve congestion.
All right, Northern Pass back in the spotlight today, and tonight there will be a presentation in Bristol put on by opposition members, and if you're interested in learning a little bit more, and this one from a completely different perspective about the electromagnetic fields and the like, Dr. Campbell McLaren from Littleton Regional Hospital will be speaking at Newfound Regional High School in the auditorium tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. That's in Bristol on Route 104, just west of Interstate 93, so go check it out at BrianTilton.com on the Northern Pass page for more details and directions if you'd like to go. And that'll be 7 to 9 tonight. Be a very good thing for most of you, especially if you're in Sanberton, Canterbury, and the like. Make the trek on up to Bristol and check it on out. All right, 1-866-823-1077. And Northern Pass will be the subject of a press conference this afternoon at the State House at 1 o'clock as a presidential candidate will be coming out in opposition of the Northern Pass Project. Andy Martin joins us here on Bulldog Live. How are you?
I'm fine. The campaign is going well. And, you know, it's a great opening here to emphasize that I believe in local control and local initiative. And we've got a lot of these so-called small government Republicans. But it always seems to me that they're supporting programs to expand the government, except when they're at campaign rallies. Well, I actually have a record of less government and small government. And to me, this is bulldozer justice. They want to bulldoze the state, compromise the recreational areas. They're not listening to the local people. And we're going to try and make it up there to that meeting tonight and let people know that they're not alone. And it's one of the reactions I've had in the past few days when the word kind of leaked out that we were going to take on this thing is they're happy to have some outside help. They know that the cavalry's on the way. And, of course, I have a reputation as a ferocious litigator. Dare I say more?
No.
So I'll be intervening. I'll be announcing at the Legislative Office Building in Concord this afternoon that I'm going to intervene, and we're going to start raising hell with the Department of Energy. See, there's a fundamental...
This is good because the public's open comment period is only on until June 14th
yes,
now.
Yes, exactly. So I'll be rolling in there later this week. The thing of it is, are these candidates going to represent Washington to New Hampshire, or are they going to represent New Hampshire to Washington, as I feel I do? And, you know, I'm the only candidate that actually grew up in New Hampshire, going in and freezing my whatever parts are concealed behind underwear in the cold water, hiking, you know, going in the forest. All of that stuff is a part of my childhood. Until I went off to college, you know, we summered here, mm-hmm. and relatives are here. I always have the ultimate permanent connection. My parents are buried here. My grandparents, excuse
Your
me.
Your grandparents, yeah.
So you can't really get more permanent than that.
Well, your mother was on the Board of Trustees at University of New Hampshire.
No,
as
she
well.
Wasn't on the board, but she graduated. She's class
graduated.
Of 1940.
Oh, okay. And, I thought she had gone there. Okay.
No, and so she did. She graduated class of 1940 and graduated from Central High School in Manchester. So I really did grow up understanding what New Hampshire's about. And one of the things that you hear a lot about from what I call these weenies in Washington, not related to Wiener, is they talk about small government until a lobbyist in his, you know, tasseled loafers shows up and says, well, we've got a $200,000 contribution for your PAC or your 527. You got to come out in favor of Northern Pass. So there's too much of that. And so really, you know, a lot of these candidates show up with their Lear jets or their corporate jets, and they're being given corporate jets to come in campaign. We don't have any of that. We're in a Dodge Caravan. That's the extent of our caravan. So, you know, we'll try and make it up there tonight to Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
And just to let people know, see, it stiffens the resistance when people know there's somebody that's on their team that is a tough guy. And my specialty, of course, is litigation management, figuring out just how to fight the other side. And to me, this looks like the ultimate in corporate arrogance. And I'm concerned, frankly, about the national security aspects of it. Every time there's a power outage in New York City, I seem to be there. In 1965, I was there. And in 1977, I vividly remember going to the airport in Chicago to fly to New York. I said, all flights are canceled. I said, what about? And they said, the power is out again. I said, that was the story they gave us 12 years ago. And in 2003, when I was commuting back and forth to Baghdad, I believe it was 2003, of course, the lights went out in Manhattan again. And
I remember that one. Yeah. Yep.
So national security and grid security, to me, are priorities. And this project doesn't do anything for either of those things.
Right, and that's one of the things that the federal government is looking into, because I had somebody ask me today, so why are you meddling in local politics? I said, no, because this is a presidential campaign issue, because it's the federal government that is involved, and that's why the Department of Energy is considering this quote-unquote presidential permit.
Yes, it requires a presidential finding that it's in the national interest because it crosses national borders. Mm-hmm. Now, we love the Canadians. I mean, they're us. We're like, you know, neighbors, really. There's no better neighbor that we have in trading partner and whatever.
Yep.
But they're still a sovereign nation. They're still an independent nation. And occasionally they can get kind of prickly about their sovereignty. And we don't want to, as enticing as it seems, to take the power from Hydro-Québec. Are we really outsourcing our environmental concerns to the Québécois? And are we really sending our sort of, you know, NIMBY type attitudes up there and let them suffer the consequences of untrammeled hydropower just so we don't have to see it? I'm not sure that's an ethical thing, but I know it's a diplomatic problem, because if something goes wrong, where are you going to find when Al-Qaeda in, what is it called, the Arabian Peninsula is evicted from there, they may go up to Al-Qaeda in Quebec, because we're vulnerable, because the government, the FBI, the Army, the National Guard, we don't have the authority and the jurisdiction to protect the power grid north of the border.
And I'm wondering, wasn't that part of the Y2K terrorism plot that was broken up, I think, in Washington State? Wasn't there supposed to be I'm just dusting off the cobwebs here, if they were attacking the power grid.
You caught me
a
little bit off on that one, but look.
It's okay, I don't know either.
Anytime you've got two nations as closely wired together as we are with Canada, we have to be concerned with our sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if we get a report that there's Al-Qaeda up there somewhere in the woods? We just can't barge in there. The Canadians are going to say, we want to handle it. We just can't, God forbid, drop a bomb on some terrorist in northern Quebec or wherever the areas are. But yet we're vulnerable. Because sure. The minute we replace the need for local generating, I mean, I'm always reminded of how they said, oh, we can't be bothered on Long Island to have nuclear power. Let's let somebody else have the nuclear generation. They'll just send us the power. So then they had to run cables under Long Island Sound. They had mm-hmm. to run cables up to New York and New Hampshire, letting other people handle their problems. And this is a particular problem in the New York metropolitan area, because they don't want to be accountable. They want to shut down the only nuclear plant they have. And it's not any more dangerous than anything else. It's not like people don't know that it's an old plant that needs to be watched. They will let somebody else produce the power. We don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
And that's not acting in the interest of national security.
Right, and that's been a point that has been made by a lot of the people who are upset by the Northern Pass project, and that is because it's the people in Connecticut and New York that are going to benefit primarily from this type of power.
Yeah.
So we have to wreck our landscape to satisfy their energy.
Clearly,
hungry
the
needs.
Purpose here, Bulldog, is to wheel the power south. You see, what happens in these cases mm-hmm. is they create the flow. And I'm not a technical expert, so I can't give you all the
sure.
volts or whatever it is, watts. Or but I do understand. I've been involved in power cases for 40 years at the old Federal Power Commission. And they wheel that power, bring it down here. Then somebody says, oh, we'll buy it for it from you and give you a 5% markup. Well, pure profit, just to act as a distributor. And although supposedly the ISO is supervising that, business being what it is, somebody gets a piece of the action. So this is nothing but a plan to make up for what New York doesn't want to provide for itself. And I think they have to face reality. They have to be energy independent.
I would certainly think so. 1-866-823-1077. Let's take a phone call here. Kelly from Concord, you're on Bulldog Live, along with Republican presidential candidate Andy Martin.
Hi there. How are you guys today?
Good.
Good. Listen, I couldn't agree with you more about New York and Connecticut having to take, you know, responsibility for their own situations. And I feel like New Hampshire is, in a way, being pimped out for them, and their needs and wants are far more important than, you know, the people of New Hampshire. And it's really very disheartening that that is the case, and it's fairly disheartening that our governor is sort of turning a blind eye or a deaf ear to it as well. And he hasn't really, you know, stepped up to protect our interests or the people in the North Country with the eminent domain. And I really appreciate the fact that you're, you know, taking it into a bigger spectrum in the presidential race as well. And Bulldog, I have one other question about this that I don't know if you know or anybody else can tell us about. But what happens if it's a wetland area that the power lines need to come through? Because, you know, if you want to do anything, if you own any property and you have any wetlands, God forbid, you do anything to that, but you know, is that raising another issue? And
well,
I'll
think
take comments off the air, actually, so that way you don't have to
grab
your line.
Thank you, Kelly. No problem.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. I think that comes under the NEPA regulations, Andy Martin.
Yes,
you know a little bit about them, don't you?
I filed some of the earliest NEPA lawsuits, 40 years ago. I started environmental litigation in the early 70s. One of my cases on water pollution reached the Supreme Court. I've been involved in it. See, there's something else that she didn't mention, or she mentioned it in passing. It's quality of life. Mm-hmm. Do people have the right to come to New Hampshire for a less hurried, a less rushed, a less pressured life? Do they have a right to be there and be let alone? Or does power, literally, it's a bad pun because we're dealing with electrical power, but does power have the right to literally come in and bulldoze the quality of life in New Hampshire? I think it is a presidential issue because people should have some connection to the consumption. If they're going to outsource it the way we outsource everything else, then they're not responsible. They can preserve their way of life at the cost of people here. So you come to New Hampshire to live here, to live in a less urban area, less more rural, and your quality of life is being attacked by people that have no concern about that. And I think that is a presidential, but more so, my specialty is exposing hypocrisy. I mean, this is an issue where my opponents are corrupt. I don't think any. I like my opponents as a group. I mean, they have their faults, but they're hypocrites because they fly around in Lear jets and limousines and tinted window SUVs. They are not really in tune with the people. They're not in. They don't have any connection. We're on the ground campaigning, and so we are connected to these issues, and we know that the local people don't want it, but the big lobbyists and the big corporate donors, they do want it.
All right. Well, Andy Martin, where can people find out more information about your campaign?
AndyMartinForPresident.com. And we'll be at the Legislative Office Building today at 1, and we're going to hopefully make it up to Bristol this evening.
That would be nice, and I'm sure a lot of people would be happy to chat with you one-on-one there in the good old New Hampshire fashion.
Yep.
Good. All right. Well, Andy Martin, I've got to run here, but you made a couple of references to Congressman Weiner from New York. You wrote a column a couple days ago asking that he resign.
I think he should. I think he's an embarrassment. You know, Nancy Pelosi 2 years ago said when she took over as speaker, she was going to have the most ethical caucus. This is not ethical. Sending private messages to porn stars, which is really what he did, and then lying about it. It's an embarrassment to the Congress. It's about time we had some ethics. And I've indicated that Speaker Boehner should initiate impeachment investigation. Doesn't mean he's going to be impeached, but it's to tell him, look, this is a serious matter. You're making us all look bad because he's using a government computer, most likely, to go out and communicate with these porn stars. It's sick.
But he didn't send it, he says, but we'll see. But anyway, okay, Andy Martin, thank you very much.
Good to
Andy
see
Martin
you as
from
always.
President.com. Bulldog Live continues on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.